Welcome to the Fiscal Physical Podcast. Join us each week as we sit down with the founder of Alchemy Wealth Management and author of Your Fiscal Physical, Ryan Nelson. Tune in to gain valuable insights and practical tips as we simplify complex financial concepts into digestible lessons. From budgeting to retirement planning, this podcast is your go-to resource for mastering financial literacy.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of the Fiscal Physical Podcast. My name is Aaron Hoisington. I am your host on this financial journey, and I am joined, as always, by the founder of Alchemy Wealth Management, one of the most interesting men in the world, Ryan Nelson. How are you on this beautiful day?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
I am doing excellent, my man. I am happy to be here, happy to learn, happy to share with the listeners, and I'm looking forward to everybody joining us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever it might be. Definitely tune in to the Fiscal Physical Podcast, and we're excited for this week's episode, as we're going to talk about long-term capital gains.
Yep.
Do those have an acronym as well, too? Get used, like, I feel like there always is an acronym in this world, but
LTCG, you'll hear sometimes, long-term capital gains rate.
So if you guys listened to last week's episode, which I highly recommend, we discussed the U.S. Progressive tax system, how that works, what it is, what it isn't. And so this week we're going to talk about long-term capital gains and kind of what they are and how they're different and how they're taxed and how that all works. So I'll go ahead and let you take this over, Ryan, to kind of give the listeners that knowledge.
Perfect. So last week when we talked about the progressive tax schedule, we were really referring to how earned income is taxed, right? Mm-hmm. So the money coming from your paycheck at work, how is that being taxed? How do those tax brackets work, right? So that's one way that income is taxed. That's not the only type of income you get though, right? And so another way that you may generate income is through your investments. So you might have, some money invested. Hopefully it's growing. And as you place sales in that money, you, what we call, realize those tax gains. So maybe you had $100,000 invested in stock A. That $100,000 grows to $150,000. You sell stock A. That $50,000 of gains would now be taxed. So it could be taxed of one of two ways. If you've held that investment for less than a year, it would be taxed as a short-term capital gains, and it would be taxed just as ordinary income. So it would just fall into sort of the same tax bracket and tax rates we talked about last week. It would just be taxed as ordinary earned income. But if you've held that investment for over a year, then it qualifies for special tax treatment, and it would be taxed at the long-term capital gains rate. And these long-term capital gains rates are typically a little bit more favorable. And so, and by typically, I mean at this point in time, always.
Typically always.
But so to give you kind of an idea, so again, in this example, if we had stock A, it grew, we had 100 grand in stock A, it grew to 150 grand. We placed the trade. It's been maybe we owned that investment for 2 or 3 years. So it qualifies for long-term capital gains. We'd have that $50,000 of growth that we need to pay taxes on. That initial 100,000, we do not need to pay taxes on. We had already paid taxes on that money. You are not going to be double taxed on that money. But the gains, the growth, that has not been taxed. And so that does need to be taxed. It will be taxed at these long-term capital gains rates. And those rates are dependent on how much total income you have in that year. So what's pretty cool is if you make between $0 and $94,000-ish a year and you're married, so married filing your taxes as joint, the long-term capital gains rate is 0%. So you'd actually get that $50,000 at a 0% rate. There's also a 15% rate, and that would cover up to about just a hair under $600,000 of income. And then anything above that would be taxed at 20%. So I think last week we had made a joke about Jeff Bezos, his income, above, and he has a lot of income in that highest bracket, right? Which is being taxed at 37%. Any long-term capital gains he has would still only be taxed at the 20% rate.
Sure.
And then for again, lower income earners, they may only be taxed at 15% or even a 0% rate. So it's a more favorable rate to tax your gains.
That is quite the, I guess we used an analogy last week, the buckets, if you will, about the 0 to 94,000.
Yep.
So then the next one is like that 94,000 ish to like 600,000 is where it goes up to, and that's, it's only 15%.
Yep.
For that too. So that is, that is dip. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, that's different than like the income tax rate, right? Like,
yeah,
that,
good question. Yeah. So you can kind of think of your long-term capital gains is layering on top of your income. So for instance, if I earned $100,000 this year, mm-hmm. and I made $50,000 in long-term capital gains, mm-hmm. I would be effectively have a total income of 150 grand. So my $100,000 would have been taxed exactly like I described last week and mm-hmm. just using the normal tax bracket. And then we would want to look at, okay, where am I at in this long-term capital gains rate? So I would be in the 15% rate. So that $50,000 I earned would be taxed at the 15% long-term capital gains tax rate. They are independent rates, but you can kind of think of your long-term capital gains as stacking on gotcha. Top of your earned income, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. And, I think about, like, you know, we could probably should have done an episode on like short-term capital gains and long-term capital gains
sure.
in itself. But it's actually funny that somebody who taught me this, and he gets a shout out here, is Vinny Bush.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Vinny Bush back during COVID times, we were buying stocks and uh-huh. doing stuff because we were hanging out at home. And he was the one who taught me about long-term capital gains versus short-term
oh,
capital
awesome.
Gains. So I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but you know, shout out Vinny for sure.
That's awesome.
But with that, Ryan, I mean, as far as like a takeaway for the listeners specifically on long-term capital gains, is there, I guess I know that last week we were really excited. I was really excited to share, like, hey, this is kind of mind blowing information or right. something that you can really take away from this. It's tangible to your specific thing. What would you say as far as like long-term capital gains, if there's like common misconceptions with that too, or if there's anything that kind of revolves around that?
Yeah. I mean, one question I get a lot is, so maybe I earn $100,000 a year. But you know, or let's even make this math even easier. Let's say I earn $120,000 a year. So I earn $10,000 a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that, I've been working, it's the end of March. So I've earned $30,000 so far at this point in the year. And then I realize $50,000 in long-term capital gains. Well, that would put me in the 0% tax rate, right?
Yeah.
I'd only be at, you know, I'd be at a total of $80,000 of income. The 0% long-term capital gains rate for somebody who's married filing jointly goes up to $94,000. So in theory, I might be in that 0% tax bracket. And then, you know, I would continue to work and continue to earn $10,000 a year through April, May, June, right? For the rest of the year. So I'd still end the year having earned $120,000. And $50,000 of long-term capital gains. And so a common question I get is like, how are my long-term capital gains here taxed, right?
Right.
Are they going to fall into the 0% bracket, or are they bumping up to the 15% bracket? And I think the analogy here I would use is like, if you looked at a vase of full of just a vase, I guess, mm-hmm. an empty vase, you could put both water or oil in this vase, right? And as you put water in, it's going to fall to the bottom. As you put oil in, the oil is always going to float sort of on top of the water, right? And so if you think of pouring in this example I said, if you poured in $30,000 worth of income and that equates to water in this vase, right? And then you poured in $50,000 of oil, the oil would sit right on top of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then even as you keep earning more income, so the income you earn in April, May, June, July, August, right? That next $90,000 you're going to earn over those next 9 months, as you pour that into the vase, it's going to go through the oil and fall right down and settle to the bottom, right? And so when you look at this at the end of the year, you're not going to really see when you earned what. You're just going to see $120,000 of water or income at the bottom and $50,000 of oil or long-term capital gains at the top. So in this example, even if that person had realized these long-term capital gains early in the year before their income had gone up, it doesn't matter. It just all shakes out sort of at the end of the year. At the end of the year, the long-term capital gains or oil is always going to float to the top. And so it always layers on top of your income. So again, in this example, if somebody earned $120,000 of earned income and they're married filing jointly, they'd be in the 15% rate. So the $50,000 of long-term capital gains they earned would be in that 15% rate, no matter when they earned it. So that'd be one thing to be aware of. Another note to make to just make sure you're aware of, mm-hmm. you know, this is really only applying to like brokerage accounts,
right.
so normal okay. investment accounts. This does not apply to Roth IRAs or traditional IRAs or 401ks. This is really, these long-term capital gains are going to really just apply to the gains in brokerage accounts, whether that's an individual brokerage account or a joint brokerage account.
That is awesome. I'm super glad that you brought that up, because in my head I was like, oh man, like if my 401k crushes it, like how does that like get, is that a long-term capital gains? Like, but it's separate as far as yep. those like different, like the Roth IRAs and these yep. different
so,
things.
So, yeah. so the beautiful thing is a Roth IRA, you'll be able to get all the gains tax-free.
Yeah, you will. Right?
As long as you do everything to qualify. And then your traditional IRA or 401k, every dollar you pull out of that will be taxed at ordinary income rates. So that's gotcha. Going to look just like earned income sort of in the future. So that'd be taxed at the normal progressive tax rates we talked about last week.
Awesome. I love it, man. Anytime you can use an analogy like that, that really, everybody knows, everyone's done an experiment when they were younger, like oil and water.
Sure.
And like
yeah.
these
yeah.
different things. And so like being able to equate that really for me personally, like makes things click as yeah. far as that goes. So that's, excellent to kind of be able to paint that for the listeners as well too. So awesome. Well, I hope you guys now know a little bit about long-term capital gains here. We're going to go ahead and take a quick pause, and then we'll be back on the other side with some personal stuff to discuss. So hang tight with us.
And now to put the personal in personal finance.
Welcome back to the Fiscal Physical Podcast for our personal section here. I think it's important to give our listeners a little peek behind the mic of who we're speaking here. So, you know, Ryan, just overall, you tend to have a lot of activities outside of work, which I think is important. Most
sure.
people should. You know, certain ones like that you have really, every time I see, feel like I turn around, you're doing something new.
Sure,
like
sure.
You're diving into something, you know, you're making wine, you're making beef jerky, you're doing, you know, finding a new game that we all play, like specifically with like the wine, like
yep.
how did you make your, you tell, you bottle your own wine, you have your own label, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. 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 Just make some kind of homebrew wine at home. It's always a fun process. But yeah, just actually kind of learned about that in the industry. Had an old client who was doing the same thing, and just sort of piqued my interest. And so I started talking to him and learning more and more about the process. And I was like, yeah, I think I have enough room in my kitchen to do this.
Yeah.
And so just kind of learned more, got the equipment, and kind of started the process. And it's, you know, it really is a fairly easy process. It just takes time,
yeah.
right? It's really time. And so you got to kind of leave this thing. You got to have room to leave this thing like out in, you know, in this case, in my kitchen, you know, fermenting for
sure.
for weeks and weeks at a time, and then settling and stuff. So yeah, it's a real easy process, but kind of a fun little side hobby.
Fun. It's funny that this brings, when I was thinking about this, I was like, oh, wine and like fermenting. Do you remember? So back in the day, Ryan and I used to live together, and with our friend Christopher Linton, and for Christmas got Chris and I a beer brewing.
Oh, kit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we brewed the beer like in our apartment. We kept it in like the closet for
yeah.
like several weeks. And then I was like, oh, cool, this is going to be interesting. And then it ended up being awful.
Yep.
It was absolutely terrible.
Not too different from my wine.
Yeah. That's true. But you do have a cool label with your wine. You got your dog on there, Nova,
yep.
which is pretty cool. My wife and I just actually had a bottle of that the other night.
And awesome.
It was
yeah, yeah.
delectable for sure. So
good.
If you guys are interested in wine, definitely. He's not just a financial advisor. He's also, I don't know, is there a name for a winemaker? I don't know.
I think they're like, called winemakers.
Cool. That checks out for sure. Cool. Well, that's awesome, Ryan. We'll go ahead and wrap this episode up here. Appreciate all the listeners checking us out on all the different platforms. Definitely, you know, if you guys feel like you've gotten anything out of this podcast, you know, email us at podcast@alchemywealth.com. You know, rate, subscribe, comment wherever you might be tuning in from, or just shoot Ryan and I a text. Like, let us know, like, hey, you want to hear a topic, or you like this topic. Like, it's always nice to know if these things actually resonate with the listeners here. So appreciate you guys, and I'll turn over to Ryan to play us out here.
Yeah, as always, stay the course.
Thank you for joining us for the Fiscal Physical Podcast. Until next time, happy listening. And as always, Stay the course. If you have a question or topic suggestions, please email us at podcast@alchemywealth.com. If you enjoyed today's discussion, subscribe to the podcast to ensure you never miss an episode. And consider leaving us a rating and review on your favorite platform. This helps other listeners like you find the show. For more resources, you can visit Alchemy Wealth Management's website at www.alchemywealth.com or find your physical, the book on Amazon. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention that personal finance is just that, personal. Please don't take anything we say as advice. The preceding content is for informational and entertainment purposes only. It's not an offer or a solicitation, nor should it be construed or relied upon for tax, legal, or investment advice. It doesn't consider your personal financial situation or objectives and may not be suitable for you.